Turn to 1 Kings, if you will, please. Chapter 22. 1 Kings, chapter 22. And at this point today, we will have preached through the book of 1 Kings, the messages God has laid on my heart in that book. Today, I want to preach on the subject of the lying spirit of the prophet. The lying spirit of the prophet. Do you know it is... It's human nature. It's just human nature that we want to hear what we want to hear. Now let's look at verse 29. We'll read all the way through verse 38. 1 Kings 22. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. But put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself. That's Ahab. And he went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. In other words, go after him. Don't worry about anybody else. You just go after the king of Israel, Ahab. It came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. I would have too. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture, just out of the blue, we'd say, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, Ahab, king of Israel, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. The king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrian, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And let's read on through verse 38. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his own country. Go back home. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. Now you remember what Nathan had told Ahab. He told him that one day, because he had sinned against God and he had taken Naboth's vineyard and caused him to be killed, indirectly at least, he said, one of these days, it's going to be out in the future, one of these days, the dogs are going to lick up the blood, your blood, just like the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth. It's going to happen. And friend, when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. And so that was what the prophet of God had told him, and told him was going to happen. And now we read the story about it. Now let me go back to my original statement. We want to hear what we want to hear. We like people that say things we want to hear. We want to hear things that please us. The Bible has many illustrations of that. It's just human nature. We want to hear what pleases us. When you go back to chapter 12, you have the story there, of course. We've already talked about a little bit of Rehoboam. That was the son of Solomon. And Rehoboam got some men together. He was trying to figure out whether to go to war or not. And he was trying to figure out also how to treat some of the people, what to do, whether to be mean or whether not to be mean, all of these different things that had come into play. And so he decides he's going to talk to the old men. That's not a bad idea. I know some of these young whippersnappers don't want old people in their church. They ought to quit the ministry and get out. God's church is for everybody. All ages. It wasn't for the senior citizens of this church, you wouldn't be sitting in your comfortable pew right now. We need to thank God for them, and we do thank God for them. But he went to the old men. The old men didn't say what he wanted. And so he said, I have a suggestion. Go to the young men and see what they say. And they said exactly what he wanted to hear. And he said, I'm going to do what the young men say because that's what I want to do. It's really what he wanted to do. I don't know why he wasted time with the old men. That's what he wanted to do. But here's the result. Because he listened to what he wanted to hear and didn't listen to what God had told him through the old men, he lost his kingdom. Absolutely lost his kingdom. Well, there was a prophet of Judah on another occasion. Another one of the chapters here in 1 Kings. This prophet of Judah went up to Bethel. The Bible tells us about him, and God sent him up there to Bethel. And he was a prophet from Judah, and he was to go up there and preach to them, and he did. He preached to them, and he said, get rid of these golden calves. Get rid of all these idols. This is what God said for me to tell you. And he didn't hesitate, and he preached it straight to them. And they began to do what he said, but God had told this prophet. He said, now, I don't want you to tarry there. I want you to get out of there after you preach. Get on out of there. Don't stop on the way. You go right on back home. You come right back to where you left. And don't let anybody entice you or anybody get you off track. But guess what he did? An old prophet came to him and he said, hey, I'm one of you. I'm like you. I'm a prophet too. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come to my house and I want you to sit at my table and I want to feed you a meal. But here's the problem. God told him not to do that. But you know why he went to that lying prophet's house? Because he wanted to. That's probably what he wanted. He didn't want to go all the way back on that trip without stopping for a meal and being recognized maybe and somebody treating him nicely. But God said, don't you tarry. But he listened to the other prophet because that's what he wanted to hear. That's what he wanted to do, and he did it. And it wasn't long, you find him down the road. And God said, because you've done this, a lion's going to eat you. And that's exactly what happened. The lion killed him. The old prophet came with the donkey and so on and so forth. And there was a mystery about what happened there. But the thing was, he did what he wanted to do. He listened to what he wanted to hear. And as a result, he was killed by the lion. Jeroboam had put the golden calves back in. He did exactly what God told him not to do. They'd had the confrontation with Elijah and all of that took place, but he went ahead and started putting up the golden calves and building the altars of Baal, the false god, to worship Baal again, and Asherah, and all of that came into being. And so all of a sudden, Jeroboam's little boy got sick. You remember the story where he said to his wife, that's what a brave husband does, he said to his wife, I want you to go to the man of God. I want you to go to the prophet. And I want you to dress up, not like you're the queen, but I want you to go there in disguise. And this old prophet's blind. He can't see. He won't realize who you are. And so I want you to go to that old prophet. And you go in disguise and I believe if you'll go in disguise and he won't realize who you are, then he'll give us good words about our son. He'll tell us son's going to be healed because that prophet had that power of God to do that. But you know what? As soon as Mrs. Jeroboam went to Ahijah the prophet and she began to come in, he already knew who she was and he called her name and said, I've got news for you. You go back home. You're going to go back home. And by the time your feet go inside the gate of the city, your boy is going to be dead. Your boy is going to be dead. See, she didn't fool the prophet. And they thought, through their disguises, they could get something out of the prophet that they wanted to hear. This was not what they wanted to hear. There are a lot of Christians today that wear their disguises too. And they go through all the motions, they go through all of the rigmarole because they want the preacher and they want the prophet and they want the man to say what they want to hear and tell them all good stuff, all positive preaching, all easy preaching. And they want that, and they'll disguise themselves like they want good Bible preaching when the truth is that's not what they want. They want something else. They don't want solid, straightforward Bible preaching. So we come to an incident like that in our text today. And we have Ahab and Jehoshaphat. And so Ahab is up to his old tricks. And he begins to talk to Jehoshaphat. And he says, you know, Ramoth Gilead belonged to us. That's our land. That's our property. And I tell you what I want you to do, Jehoshaphat. You're the king of Judah, and I'm the king of Israel. Let's get together. Let's go down there. Let's go over there to Ramoth Gilead and take that property back. Now, Jehoshaphat was a man of God. Ahab was a man of Baal. Ahab was a hypocrite. Ahab was evil. Ahab was wicked. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was a good man, pretty good man. And he wanted to do God's will. And he said, well, don't you think it'd be a good idea if we inquired of God about this thing? By the way, before you make decisions, it's a good idea to go to God in prayer. It's a pretty good idea to have a daily habit of praying, so that just becomes natural to you. And you ask God for guidance every day. I could give you a lot of stories right now about that, but I don't have time to do that. I wish I did. But it is a fact. Well, Ahab decided to do what he had always done, and he had 400 prophets that he had hired. They were his men. They were the clergy. They were the clerical men of that day. They were the ministerial association. They were the who's who. And he'd bring them all together and feed them, treat them nicely, and say sweet nothings to them and say, you know, I'm going to give you clout and all that kind of stuff if you'll just do what I tell you to do. Just bow down to me, the king. And so sure enough, he went to them for advice, and he said to these 400, what should I do? Should I go to battle or not? And they are hirelings. They don't give a rip anyway. They don't care. And they said, yeah, go on. Yeah, whatever you want to do, go ahead. All 400 of them. Everybody agree? Everybody raise your hand if you agree. All 400 of them. Yeah, we believe that. Go for it. Jehoshaphat loves God. Jehoshaphat knows who they are. He knows they're liberals and lying prophets. That's what they are. Liberals and lying prophets. And he knows that's what they are. And so he says, isn't there one more around here somewhere? He said, I think I heard of another one, a prophet. And I love Ahab's attitude toward it. He said, yeah, there's one around here, but I hate him. Why do you hate him, Ahab? Because he tells me things I don't want to hear. That's why a lot of people won't come to a Bible-believing church. That's why some of you will walk out of here mad today and say, I'm not going back to that church. Because he didn't say what I wanted to hear. He got in my potato patch and hoed a while. And I didn't like him running around in my garden. And so he had those 400. He said, well, there's another one. And they sent a messenger to go get him. Messenger was going to get Micaiah. Verse 12, 13 tells us about that. Micaiah was the prophet. And so he sent him out to get him, and he went to get Micaiah. And so Zedekiah strutting his stuff. Zedekiah, he's the bishop over all these other 400. He's the bishop. Back in a few verses earlier, he gets some horns and puts them up on his head, runs around like he's attacking, you know, like a bull. He runs all over the place, and he says, see, he says, God said, let's go. You attack, and you're going to win the battle. He's lying. He didn't have any authority for that whatsoever. But he was telling the king exactly what the king wanted. And so they sent a messenger, the messenger who evidently might have been a friend of Micaiah. But he told me, he said, Mikhail, now listen to me. I'm your buddy. I'm your friend. When you get there, you just tell the king what he wants to hear. Amen. You just tell the king what he wants to hear, and everything will be kosher. Everything will be all right. Verse 14, and Micaiah said, I love it. I love it. I dearly love it. As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Amen. I'll say what God tells me to say. So Micaiah went on down to that area, went where the king was, and he brought him in, and he said, all right, tell me what we ought to do. Ahab said, tell me what we ought to do. And sort of ironically, tongue-in-cheek, he tells him what he wants to hear, just sort of playing games with him a little bit in verse 15. The king said unto Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Ahab knew he was pulling his leg. He knew it. And so the king said unto him in verse 16, how many times shall I adjure thee or ask thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? He said, you're playing games with me. Now tell me what you're really thinking, preacher. Tell me what you're really thinking. That's what he had promised he was going to do. He was going to say what God told him to do. And that's exactly what he was getting to. And he told him the truth. What did he tell him? He said, here's what God showed me. God showed me something. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you what God said. God showed me that in this vision I had, it's like there's a herd of sheep, a flock of sheep, and they're on this mountainside. And all of a sudden, they're scattered all over the place, and the shepherd is running for cover, because the enemy is defeating them. And Ahab knew exactly what he meant. You see, Ahab was the shepherd in this picture. And Ahab was going to run. And all of the soldiers were going to scatter and they were going to go back home. That's exactly what he told him was going to happen. That they were going to be whipped and defeated because the shepherd was going to be defeated. The leader of the flock. And that was Ahab. Well, Ahab didn't like what the preacher said. And so he mistreated him. We're living in those days now where more and more and more you're going to see the true man of God discriminated against. Made fun of, poked fun at. And in some cases, they'll wind up going to jail before it's all over with. Simply because they preach the word of God. The hate crimes bill, that's what it's all about. It's not about those other issues. It's about moral things, all of that. And so, whenever he's dealing with him, he says, I want you to throw him in prison. Verse 27, I want you to feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction. Now, I don't know exactly what bread of affliction, water of affliction is, but I believe it means treat him bad. Put him on the rack. Beat him. Brainwash him. Do everything. Don't treat that man of God. He didn't say what I want him to do. He needs to learn to line up. And so he told him, he said, keep doing it until, Ahab said, keep doing it, verse 27, until I come in peace. I'm going to win the battle. We're going to whip him, and I'm going to come back, and then we'll release him. But we're just going to show this preacher a lesson. We're going to teach him a lesson. And the preacher, Micaiah, said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you, listen to what I'm telling you. What he was saying is, I'm glad he said that, because he said, you look and see, if he comes back in peace, what I said is not true. But if he doesn't, you know there's a living God, and I'm the man of God. Amen. And that the truth is going to come to the forefront. Well, in verse 30, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I got a plan. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put on some old clothes and I'll look like just a regular slave. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight in a battle, brother. I'm going to fight in a battle. But we're going to show that preacher he's wrong. We're going to fool that preacher and we're going to fool God. And I'm going to put on all these old clothes and go out there and fight. And when I go out there and fight, I'm then going to come back safely, but here's what I want you to do, Jehoshaphat. I want you to dress up like a king. I scratch my head and I think, Jehoshaphat, were you really that dumb? I don't know exactly why he went along with it, but I don't think I would have went along with it knowing why he was doing it. So they go out there in the battle, and we've read in our text where he comes, and they think, there he is, there's Ahab, and we're going to rush him and we're going to kill him, because that was the number one job they were supposed to have. And so he was going to rush and kill him. And when he got there, Jehoshaphat said, whoa, wait a minute, I'm not who you think I am. That's exactly what I'd have said, a little louder. I'd have said, hey, wait a minute, bud. I'm not who you think I am. Don't kill me. Now, you think you're going to disguise and get away with your sin and fool God? And you think you're going to thumb your face in God, thumb your face at God and all of that? You think that's going to happen? All of a sudden, here's a soldier, and he's out there in battle. He says, I don't know what to do. He grabs and he says, whoo, just shoots an arrow. No purpose, not aiming at anybody. He said, I'm bored. I'm just going to shoot an arrow. And guess where it went? Ahab had some armor under his disguise, by the way. And that arrow, so help me, Lord, it's the truth, the Bible says, went right through that one opening, right to the heart. And he began to bleed. And he died. Stayed up. They stood him up like it was some big deal. And his blood was all in the chariot. And it coagulated, some of it. There was blood all over it. It's not a very pretty story. But he had to turn back and he died. And verse 38 tells us exactly what God said was going to happen. Through the real man of God who told the real truth. That is, the dog's going to lick your blood. And they washed out that chariot. And guess what? The dogs licked up his blood. Just like God's man said it was going to happen. Now today, people don't like fundamentalists. And they don't like good Bible preaching, strong, hard Bible preaching. I think it ought to be done in love, but I think it ought to be done truthfully. Amen? Well, to preach the Word of God. Word of God. The liberals, they don't want to do that. These hirelings, these liberals, they're a dime a dozen, and they'll tell you anything you want to hear. You give them a car and a good salary and a nice parsonage, and they'll preach anything you want them to preach. And I guarantee you they're out there by, they're a dime a dozen. They're all over the place. They're preaching right now. And they're saying things like, I've got a file full of these liberals and some of the things they say. They're saying things like this. Homosexuality, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you, it's not a sin. It's a sickness. It's a sickness. They're lying prophets. Amen. Don't you know your Bible? They're lying prophets. They'll say, now look, you can go to heaven in any religion. You don't have to believe in Jesus Christ. You can go to heaven. You can be a Muslim. You don't have to believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be born again. You can go to heaven. They'll tell you, like some of these liberal secular psychiatrists, that your problem, when it's really sin, is a sickness. You have a psychosomatic sickness. Psycho, your brain, and your body, soma, and you're just sick in your brain, and that's why you commit adultery. You can't help it. You watched As the World Spurns when you were 8, and you saw something on there that you didn't, and it impacted you for the rest of your life, and that's why you're out here committing adultery. Don't worry about it. If your wife doesn't understand, she'll get over it someday. Just, you know, you might need to curtail it a little bit, but don't worry about it. Oh, baloney. And there are preachers that are telling you today that you can get to heaven by your good deeds. That's a lie. They're lying prophets. Or that you can get there by baptismal regeneration. That's not right. They'll tell you that drinking's all right. It's not right. The Bible is absolutely, and water's all right, folks, but I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, alcohol. The Bible, you know what the Bible says about it, don't you? Over and over and over. And I know you Timothyites are out there trying to come up with a reason, but I'm telling you, it'll hurt your testimony. And if eating meat offends my brother, leave the cotton picking meat alone. Because it's wrong. It'll hurt your testimony. They'll say, they'll go down here and fight in the legislature when we have worked hard to try to get legislation passed that curtails some of this stuff. And they'll go down there and fight it and come back and get up in the pulpit like they're men of God. They're not. They're false prophets. Amen. They're everywhere. And they outnumber the fundamentalists. They outnumber the true Bible preachers. And they will preach what you want to hear. They'll dilute the gospel. Friend, if you're going to dilute the gospel, that's like taking the light out of the lighthouse. You're not going to help anybody by doing that. That's like taking the flag away from the signal man who says, stop, if you go through here, you're going to get killed. No, we got to preach the truth. We got to tell people they're sinners, they're lost, they're on the way to hell, they need a Savior, Jesus died for them, there's only one way to get there, and that is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to tell them that committing adultery is wrong, fornication is wrong, pornography is wrong. We need to tell them that stealing is wrong, that lying is wrong, that situation ethics is not taught in the Word of God. We need to tell them all of this. We need to tell them you didn't come from some baboon somewhere. You were created by Almighty God with intelligence.
Amen.
That Adam said, that's a dog, that's a cat, that's a big elephant, that's a tall giraffe. He had intelligence and he named every last one of them. We're going to teach them that we didn't come from animals. I'm no kin to the monkey. No. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know about your ancestors, but mine didn't hang from a tree.
Amen.
Amen. I was created in the image of God. I'm a tripartite being. I have a body, soul, and spirit, and I'm going to live eternal somewhere. I answer to an almighty God, and if I don't get saved, I'll split hell wide open. If I do get saved, I'll go to heaven. I am saved, by the way, but I'm using that about everybody. And I'll go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to have preachers who will tell the truth.
Amen.
Tell the truth. Preacher, I want to know the truth. Can I go to heaven without trusting Jesus? No, you can't, my friend. Now, I don't want you to play games with me. Don't tell me something's going to send me to hell. Tell me the truth. Now, preacher, I want to go to heaven. Is there really a way that I can go to heaven? No, I'm going to heaven. Oh, yes, I'm glad you asked. There's a way. Well, what is that way, preacher? Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believe he died on the cross for your sins. Ask him to come into your heart. Know that he saved you. That's the only way. How do you do it, preacher? Look and live. Just like in the Old Testament, the serpent that bit all the people, which is symbolic of sin, and all of us are sinners, and they wanted to be healed, and the fire of venom going through their bodies. How can I be healed? Look and live. Go over there and put that brass serpent up on the pole and look and live, which is typical of Satan dealing with Jesus and having him crucified because of our sins. Not that he could do it on his own, but God allowed it. But all of that, a picture of Jesus taking our judgment. And he said, all you got to do is join the church, get baptized, go through catechism, do good works, and then you'll be healed. No. He doesn't make it hard, folks. He wants people to be saved. And what did he say? Look and live. Look to Jesus, my friend, and live. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the way to do it. Just listen and do what God says. You better listen to the man of God. How do you know he's a man of God? Because he's going to preach exactly what this book says. And if he can't back it up with text proofs, he cannot back it up with the Word of God. I don't care how suave and good looking. I don't care how intelligent. I don't care if he uses all of the 8-cylinder words of the intelligentsia. It doesn't matter, my friend. If he doesn't preach this book and he can't back it up with the Word of God, tell him to get off your porch.
Amen.
Tell him you want somebody that's going to preach the book like it is to him. Lying false prophets. And by the way, there are a lot of Christians that don't want a preacher like that either. Preacher, here's your job. Now listen to me. Here's your job. Oh, what is it? Scratch my itch. Do what? Scratch my itch. Say what I want you to say. And say things that won't embarrass other people if I bring them to church. And say things that make me feel good and comfortable. And that's all right once in a while. But I just want you always, just whatever makes me comfortable. Don't get in my sin. Don't disturb me. Don't preach that I'm backslidden. And don't preach that I'm lukewarm. And don't preach that I'm not involved. And just let me come and enjoy the service and go back home and eat and sleep this afternoon and stay home tonight. And just let me enjoy it. Well, I could do that, but I can't preach this. And I got news for you. I'm not going to do it. A lying prophet. 400 of them. Big bishop. We all agree. The man of God says, no, this is what God said. Throw him in prison. But guess who the last laugh was on? Was it the man of God? Or was it Ahab, the mighty royal king? The man of God, I think, came out and said, I told you so. I told you so. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed as we prepare for our invitation. May God help you to come, whatever God has spoken to you about. Perhaps this is the day He'd like for you to join us, this church, and become part of our family. We want you to come. If you're here without Christ, I'm telling you the truth, my friend. There's only one way. Listen, only one way you can get to heaven. That's through coming, admitting your sinner, and trusting Christ. And then, dear friend, I believe not only as I've preached to you and what the Word of God says, and you've heard other preachers preach, you know in your own heart whether you're listening to the men of God or not, the Word of God. The men of God preaching the Word of God, and you know their needs in your life. May you let God meet them. Father, bless in the invitation. It's yours, not mine. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. May God help you to come.